Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, David Slack.
Morena, Melanie and Rosetta.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm well. I'm excited. Well, excited? Maybe not the right word. After I finish talking with you, I'm going to get on a bike and ride up to Milford and have an ultrasound on my heart.
Oh, wow. Dear. I hope you're okay.
I think I am.
Oh, good. Is the health system treating you well?
It is. Long before you were born, I had a heart attack, and for a long time, I just rolled along just living well. But I kept thinking from time to time, I ought to see a cardiologist, and I finally got around to seeing one a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you've got palpitations. Are you feeling this? I said, no. So anyway, I've been doing a battery of tests, and today it's are there any babies in my heart? Ultrasound.
Right. Oh my gosh, you poor thing. Well, I'm hoping things go well.
Thank you very much. I remain confident.
Issues of the heart are quite serious.
They are, but they also remind us that none of us are here forever.
That's true. And hoping someone's not here forever, we're going to talk about Christopher Luxon today.
Oh, Millie!
Beautiful segue.
Oh, I tried my best.
Would you like me to read my poem?
I was going to ask, could you do a reading for us?
Can you recite?
All means. I'm glad you asked. it's entitled "You Are Dom Tucker, National Poetry Week Ode to Old Mate Grab a Seat," which for people who aren't regular readers of my Substack refers to our Prime Minister. So farewell then, old mate, grab a seat. Technically you are still here, but have you seen the papers? The reporters who were bigging you up when there was nothing there are going just as hard measuring up your casket. Going forward in the country running space, you are canine comestibles, i.e. you are dog tucker. If you were an Air New Zealand route, you would have already scrapped yourself. I am not going anywhere. I am 100% focused on the economy, not passports. That is what you told Corin. Or was it Ingrid? I've stopped listening mostly, TBH. And that might be your problem too. When they asked, how are you going to get us sorted, old mate, you were supposed to say, watch this, and knock something out of the park. But all you kept saying was, guys, Labour left me a shit bat and I can't hit a thing. TBH, old mate, it sounded a bit whiny and inward-looking, which is a bit funny when you think about it. You may still feel your situation is nothing like Liz Truss, but let us see.
Followed by a picture of a beautiful lettuce head.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah.
I really appreciate putting TBH in a poem.
Yeah.
And you've done it twice, so I like that.
Yeah, it's a bold move. So what inspired you to write this poem, David?
I think he looks a bit dog tucker, to be honest.
Yeah.
In particular, it's never a good look when the media is writing the kinds of things that you were seeing in the Sunday Star Times, for instance, piece by, I think it was Amelia Mead, that it went very long talking to a lot of people, including people who you would normally assume to be quite supportive right to the end, like Simon Bridges and various other spokespersons for the business sector, who were essentially saying, look, we're not seeing any bold ideas for business to get us thriving in the way you're supposed to be doing it. And what's more, you seem to be more preoccupied with things like the wording on passports. And it is true. And that is absolutely a symptom of the tail wagging the dog. And that, I reckon, shows you where the rot set in, which was when he did the deal in the first place with ACT and New Zealand First. So eager was he to be the Prime Minister that he was prepared to concede way more to them than any astute politician would have. And so that's where how you end up with these dopey culture war things like the priority of name on the title of the passport. And it's it wouldn't necessarily be a big deal if they were doing better themselves with their economic strategy, but their economic strategy is poked because it essentially proceeds on the flawed, fatally flawed assumption that if you cut government spending, you will bring down inflation, which is just utterly wrong-headed. They and all.
Oh no, we've lost David.
Oh, are you there?
Oh, there you are. Oh. We lost you for a second. Oh. Sorry, David.
Oh, sorry. How far, had I got through the Economist's bit, or shall I say that again?
Do it one more time.
Yeah, it was really. What the economists say is that when you've got a contracting economy, the worst thing you can be doing is cutting spending. But that's what they went ahead and did because they believed that that was going to deal with inflation, which itself was a stupid preoccupation with yesterday's problem. That was a bubble in the system post-COVID. And it was going away anyway, and that's been demonstrated very clearly across the world. So in the name of something that wasn't there, they have crash-landed the economy. They fired 10,000-odd people, and now Wellington is a financial wasteland. And people are saying, what the hell? And justifiably so. So you've got both that dimension of the tail wagging the dog. You've got that crashing the economy. You've got the absolute absence of any kind of strategy. And that's the core criticism that those business leaders were making in the piece on the weekend, which was rightly saying, if you really are this party of business, how come you don't have any ideas? We've even got the nation's most crucial part of State Highway 1 is the bit that goes from Wellington to Picton. And that will still take you no longer have, because the Aotearoa finished service this week, you no longer have a rail connection from the north to the South Island for freight. And, given that, they said that it was important for productivity that people could get across the bloody city 20 seconds faster.
I know.
Put the speed limits up. How much productivity hit do you take from not having rail access to the South Island? FFS.
FFS.
So, for all those reasons, people look at this guy Luxon and they say, you're good at anything. And should you actually be the Prime Minister? Because it's starting to look like this whole thing was just a vanity bloody project for in the long career ambitions of a guy who worked for multinationals. And actually, that's a further crucial point.
Yeah.
You look at what he did at Air New Zealand. To the extent that they were doing anything progressive, these were projects that somebody else was already doing, and he simply said, okay, yeah, go for your life. his own initiatives were essentially to say, what is a route that's not making much money? We'll scrap it. What's a route that we can make more money on it? We'll do aggressive pricing. Yeah. In other words, how did you sell soap and toothpaste? Do the same with airlines. The absolute zero imagination or inspiration or creativity. And he's bringing that same zero to this proposition.
And that's the thing. He's just kind of jumped on and been like, well, I'm the Prime Minister now, I guess, so I'm going to do it like I did Air New Zealand.
Correct. And cookie cutter, slam, 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 nothing happens. And so here we are now. I have never known a time in this country where people have been so disheartened, frustrated, and lacking in optimism. This all of this is feeding into the polls, and those polls are also saying, yeah, he's a bit shit. And that's really quite surprising for a government that's only been in office a little more than 18 months.
Well, it's funny you should say that. We were chatting to Chris Hipkins yesterday, and he agreed that Luxon's kind of looking a little checked out.
Well, obviously he agreed that. But I think also on the note of people feeling disheartened and recent polls, it's interesting because you know, support for National is waning and support for Labour is slightly increasing but still quite not enough to govern. And I wonder if people are still feeling a bit despondent with this whole, they did that sort of like blame game between Labour and National. Yeah. And do you feel hopeful about the state of Labour at the moment?
It is a bit of a worry that there doesn't seem to be much bold message making.
Yeah, there's not a lot of concrete policy,
Yeah, you know, what you always want is something that's a bit inspiring, something that says, here's a possibility. I always liked that about Longy, that he didn't necessarily sketch it all out, but he always created a huge sense of possibility, and that was enough for everybody to get kind of positive. Mm-hmm. And it's a really valuable part of politics, and you don't necessarily see it in Chris Hipkins, I regret to say, because I think he's very capable in many ways, but I don't think he does that. And I think he's also has a long history now of taking the careful approach and the quite centrist approach. Mm-hmm. Now, that can work to an extent, because we've got a different kind of left from, say, the UK, where they've still got an intact Labour Party. Ours blew apart in the 1980s, and the more progressive, more left-leaning parts of it went off, firstly, to New Labour, and then fractured further into Greens and Alliance. And what that all means is that the most imaginative ideas tend to be coming from the Greens. And if you go and look at what Chloe Swarbrick has been saying in some of her speeches recently, you can see there is some really concrete policy and exciting policy to make you feel more excited, if that's what you're looking for. Because this is the thing that motivates Chris Hipkins, the sense that there are people in the middle who are very much frightened by anything that's not familiar, and so you don't run ahead of them. The risk with that is that you don't run ahead at all, and that leads us to the problem you just correctly identified. You know, people are not really sure that they're seeing something to latch onto, and you know it is true what he says, that people are very cautious, and God, it's frustrating to see them being so cautious about anything to do with climate crisis. Nonetheless, it is possible to get people motivated about a cause, and in large numbers. And I think of our nuclear free movement. You know, we were quite a conservative, reactionary country at the time that got traction. But Jesus, it got traction. Yes. And it really got a lot of people who might otherwise be quite conservative, cautious, saying, we've got to do it.
Let's get reactive, New Zealand. Hey, thank you so much for your time today, David, and best of luck with your cardiology affairs.
Thank you.
And, thank you so much. Good chat. We'll talk
next week. You should hear from me next week.
Thanks, David.
All righty.
Thank you,
too. See ya.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.